Jackson. From the heart of New York's glittering Broadway, the makers of Hallmark greeting cards bring you the story of a tough old sea dog whose bark is loud and fierce, but whose heart is as warm as a kitten, even though it doesn't beat as steadily as the doctor would like it to. And to recreate this lovable old character so that you can know him as he really was, we are happy to have with us one of the most talented and versatile actors on the American stage and screen, Mr. Louis Calhern. Welcome, Mr. Calhern. We're glad to have you aboard.
Thank you. And I see that everything is shipshape as usual. I guess as long as we're doing a story about a sea captain tonight, we might as well start right out by using the right words.
Oh, that's right. But you see, we're always very careful around here to use the right words. Three words I can think of anyway.
Oh, I know. Those three words. A Hallmark card. Huh? Now, let's see. They tell your friends you cared enough to send the very best. Is that right?
Perfect. I can see we're in familiar waters. Now, you may take over, Mr. Calhern, as soon as I set down in our log that the makers of Hallmark cards bring us the dramatic story of a sailor who has just come to port on this Reader's Digest radio edition, Deepwater Captain, starring Mr. Louis Calhern. That's Captain Jonathan Carter, and he's not on the bridge of a ship, as you might suspect. No, he's in a hospital bed. He's just been brought there, and he's a very sick man, though he doesn't sound sick.
Drop anchor! Bastard hook away, sir! Drop anchor! It's been a rough voyage!
Good heavens! In all my nursing experience, I've never seen a patient like you.
And so the nurse hurries to Dr. Loomis to report that his patient seems to think he's on a ship. And the doctor hurries to the captain's room.
Well, Captain.
Ahoy, mate. Come alongside. Make fast.
Aye, aye, sir.
Wait a minute. Batten down that hatch.
What? Oh, you mean close the door?
I mean batten down that hatch.
All right.
Now, come here. I've got a little trouble down in the engine room, mate. Must have got my pipes fouled up some way. Oh.
Just lie back.
Yes, I'm sorry. Glad you came, Doc, because I've got to tell you something. That nurse that went out there for you, did she say I was dappy?
No, of course not.
Sure she did. Well, I'm not. And you know something, Doc? I know what's the matter with me.
What's the matter with you is that you're under the weather. You need some rest.
No, Doc. It's my heart. I know I'll never get out of this bunk.
Now, see.
Shut up. Doctors know more truth about people and tell more lies to them. Well, where was I? Oh, yes. I'll never get out of this bunk. That's why I'm sort of making believe to distract my mind, keep things interesting. All this seafaring talk is just a smokescreen, you see. I can't stand lying here in this bunk, thinking, not doing anything.
Well, Captain, we're going to do everything we can for you.
Sure you are, but there isn't any chance of my getting well. Meanwhile, look here, do you mind if I just turn this place into a ship? I always wanted to die on shipboard.
Well, I don't mind at all, Captain.
Good, good. We're going to have a ship's company here. I think I'll promote you to Commodore.
Yes, I have
to take your orders. The intern will be an ensign. The nurses will be petty officers. And those other little kids running around here will be deck apes, huh? The poor little pretty scared things.
Dr. Loomis, I'm one of the probationers on this tour. Mrs. Miller sent me to ask...
Hey, you boot!
Are you talking to me, sir?
Yes. When you come into the captain's cabin, you can blasted well knock on the door.
Excuse me.
Poor little kid, you frightened her, Captain.
I'm sorry, Commodore. But I don't want these people around here to think that I'm scared of dying. Me, you know, a deep sea captain. Come in, come in.
Pardon me, Captain Carter, but I'm the probationer on this floor, and I've been...
Are you the deckhand that came in while the doctor was here?
Yes, sir.
Say aye, aye, sir.
Yes, sir. Aye, aye, sir.
Well, what do you want?
I'm supposed to take your temperature and pulse.
Temperature normal? Pulse normal.
I have to take it just the same, Captain.
No, you don't take my temperature and you don't take my pulse. And if you insist anymore, I'll put you on the night watch for the rest of the voyage.
Oh, Captain.
Aye?
It's orders.
Hmm? Orders?
From the Commodore of the fleet, sir. Yes, sir. I mean, aye, sir.
Well, all right. Well, we always have to obey orders, don't we?
Aye, aye, sir.
Very well. Carry out your orders.
Aye, aye. Will you open your mouth, sir?
Well, if it's orders. Wait a minute, though.
What is it, sir?
How do you know about commodores of the fleet and carrying out orders and all that?
My father was a sailor, sir. Out of Oslo.
Well, what's your name?
Mary Jensen.
Where's your father now?
Dead, sir.
I'm sorry to hear that, Mary.
Thank you, sir.
Well, you poor little kid.
He hasn't been dead long, sir. He was drowned.
I'm sorry.
He was not... I'm sorry, sir. I'll be all right. I have to take your pulse and your temperature now.
You got a mother?
Yes, sir, but... Yes, sir, I have.
But what?
I have to take your pulse and temperature now, sir.
Oh, all right, but... You tell me about your mother. I tell you what you do. You put that thing in my mouth and I'll shut up. And you tell me about your mother.
Yes, sir. Here, sir. My mother isn't well. That's why I sort of broke down this way. She isn't well. She ought to get a change of climate. The doctor said she ought to live in some warm place. Can't tell what you're saying, sir.
I said, why don't you get her to some warm place?
But you're supposed to keep your mouth closed, sir. You see, we haven't any money. We thought my father had some insurance, but, well, he didn't have. And my mother, well, she's very sick, that's all.
Take this thing out of my mouth.
Yes, sir.
You mean aye, aye, sir?
Aye, aye, sir.
All right. What's your name again?
Mary Jensen, sir.
Oh, Scandahoovian, huh?
Scandahoovian, of course, sir.
Sense of humor, too. Well, Mary Jensen, my pulse normal? My temperature normal?
I'm not supposed to tell you, sir.
All right, then I'll tell you. My pulse is normal, my temperature is normal, and you report that to the Commodore.
Aye, aye, sir.
And shut that door behind you.
Don't you mean batten down the hatch, Captain?
Good morning, Captain.
Good morning, Commodore.
Well, what are all these ropes strung up here? Clotheslines?
No, they're not clotheslines, Doctor. You ever see clotheslines crisscross that way?
Well, no, but what...
Oh, you'll find out soon enough. But, Doctor?
You mean Commodore?
No. Right now, I mean Doctor.
Oh.
That little Mary Jensen, that Scandahoovian nurse.
Yeah?
Did you know her father was a seaman? That he died at sea?
No.
Did you know her mother's sick and needs to get to a warm climate?
Oh, no.
Well, blast it all, you ought to know these things. She's a member of your crew, isn't she? How can you handle your crew if you don't take an interest in them?
Yeah, you're probably right, but I'm a pretty busy man.
Oh, that's right. Sorry, Doctor. Sorry. Now, look here. Here's some money.
Money? Well, what's that for?
I want you to take this money and buy 2 tickets to Honolulu.
What?
You'll find there's a good deal left over, and you're to give the tickets and the change to that from Mary Jensen. Get her out of this country. Get her mother to a warm climate. Get her mother well.
Do you... You mean this, Captain? You really want to spend your money this way?
Now, look here. I'm dying. I haven't any use for money. But they have.
Well...
And see here. She's not to know where the money came from. Do you understand?
But how can I keep it from her?
Blast you! Use your ingenuity! Tell her there's a seaman's fund or a blanket insurance policy or some blasted thing.
All right. Oh,
Mary.
Hello, Captain. Good morning, Doctor.
Good morning, Miss Jensen. What's all that stuff you're carrying?
That's what we're going to hang on those things you call clotheslines, Doctor.
Oh, there's more than that.
You mean you've got them a cab?
Right here. Now, you sit up, Captain. I'll put it on for you. There you are.
Well, I'll be hanged. A seaman's cap.
A captain's cap, you landlubber.
And here's the sextant, and here's the compass.
Put them on the chest of drawers, Mary.
There you are.
Now run up the flags.
Aye, aye, sir.
What's this, nautical flags?
Nautical flags they are, sir. Oh, that's fine, Mary. That's fine. See, Doctor? My captain's cap on my head. The sextant and compass at hand. The sailing flags up. This is the way to live out my life.
No.
What's the matter, Mrs. Hill?
Oh, that buzzer. That's that captain's buzzer. He wants attention. He wants service. I wish Mary had never gone to Honolulu. I wish she were here to take care of him.
Oh, why? What's so terrifying about it?
Well, he's pretending the hospital is a ship, and he's running it. He barks at you, and he swears at you. Oh, he's funny sometimes, but I don't know how to handle him.
Uh-huh. Did I ever tell you that my dad was at sea for years and that I made a few voyages with him?
No.
Well, it's true. I know these old shellbacks. Look, I'll go in there instead of you if you want.
I wish you would.
Okay. Did you ring?
Batten down that hatch.
I asked you if you rang.
Call me, sir.
I will not.
What? Who are you, anyway? Another boot? This ship is nothing but a kaleidoscope. I ring the bell and heaven only knows what'll stick her head in. Where's my nurse? Who are you?
Now, you listen here, you blistered old barnacle. You keep a decent tongue in your head or your old boiler can bust wide open for all I care. I'm dogging the watch for your regular nurse tonight, but never again. Unless you stow that stuff and keep it stowed.
Oh, you darling, you beautiful son of a gun. Those are the first civil words I've heard from a woman on this blasted ship. Oh, break out a smoke for me and sit here and talk. You speak such beautiful English.
Story from the pages of the Reader's Digest, America's favorite magazine, presented by the makers of Hallmark cards, America's favorite greeting cards. Meanwhile, I'd like to tell you about another case where a few words of understanding helped start a great career. At the age of 8, Josef Joachim, who was to become one of the greatest violinists of all time, played his first concert. The response was thunderous. He took one curtain call after another as the applause in the concert hall mounted. As the story goes, his old teacher met him backstage and quickly led him over to a stern-faced man who proceeded to enumerate the mistakes Joachim had made. And when he had finished, the man abruptly turned on his heel and disappeared into the crowd. Puzzled, the boy asked why. Why, in the midst of a happy triumph, he should listen to criticism. It's reported that the old teacher placed his hands on the boy's shoulders and gently explained, "My son, if you accept only praise, you shall never receive the seed of discontent from which true perfection grows." Yes, it's easy to be satisfied with one job well done. But the makers of Hallmark cards have the feeling that everything they make for you must not only be good, but the best their skill and talent can provide. They feel that care and thought and understanding must go into something as warm and personal as a greeting card. They feel that no detail is too small, too insignificant to be overlooked. You see, they're not making just cards. They're making Hallmark cards. Cards that must say just what you want to say, the way you want to say it. That's why Hallmark cards are America's favorite greeting cards. Yes, those three identifying words on the back are Hallmark cards. Tell your friends you cared enough to send the very best. Now our program continues with Act Two of tonight's story, Deepwater Captain, starring Louis Calhern.
Announcement. announcement we made at the beginning of this broadcast. Today, Sunday, December 7th, 1941, the Japanese attacked our naval base at Pearl Harbor. Stand by for further announcements.
Blast them. Blast anybody who'll try to hurt this country of ours. Blast the doctor for keeping me here. Me, who had a destroyer in the last war, and ought to be doing my country's job again.
Good morning, Captain.
What's good about it?
You mean the news about Pearl Harbor?
Of course I do.
Pretty awful.
Yeah. Could you sit down with me for a while, Jane?
Of course.
My mind's been so full of things all night long.
Go ahead and talk, Captain.
I commanded the destroyer in the last war, blasted.
Well, you've done your part, Captain.
Nope. Nobody ever gets through doing his part. The country's at war again, isn't it? They're needing men like me.
Younger men, Captain.
Blasted, haven't you any tact?
I'm sorry.
I should be in a convoy right now, blasted. I should have a part to play in this fracas.
You should rest more, think less, and take it easy.
Blasted, soft, younger generation. Because I'm going to die, I shouldn't do any thinking, eh? Look here, young lady. I'm going to have a part in this war. Maybe I won't be in a convoy, but there'll be people representing me in convoys and on battlefields and in field hospitals.
That's true, Captain. And all the Americans at war will represent you. Just think of it that way.
No, thanks. I want personal representatives.
All right. Oh, forgive me, Captain. I'm a little tired.
What? Up all night?
Yes.
Well, you were off duty when the news broke, weren't you?
Yes, I was with Bill.
Oh, that boy you're going to marry.
I'm afraid we won't get married very soon now. Bill's enlisting today.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel about that?
Sad, unhappy, proud, awfully proud.
Good girl. Now, what are you going to do?
What do you mean?
What do you think I mean?
You mean... We talked all evening about Bill's enlisting. You mean, am I going to enlist?
Oh, I was just wondering.
Captain, I never thought of it. But I'm a nurse. They'll need me, won't they?
They'll need everybody.
Yes. Yes. Captain, I never thought of it until this minute, but I'm going to do it. I want Bill to be proud of me, too. I'm going to do it.
Jane?
Yes, Captain.
If you go.
When I go.
Yes. When you go. Will you sort of think of yourself as my daughter, Jane? I can't go myself. They're keeping me in this blasted hospital. I haven't got a son. I haven't got anybody. I have to have a representative in this war. Will you think of yourself as my daughter, Jane? My daughter? Off to war? Doing her country's work and thinking sometimes of her cantankerous old man, will you?
Oh, Captain, I will. I'm happy that you want me to.
God bless you, Jane.
That's Captain. He's just about wrecking this hospital. He's got 8 of our best nurses to enlist. He's got 2 of our interns. I wish he'd go to work on some other institution.
Good morning, Captain.
Well, bless the soul if it isn't the Commodore. Pull up alongside, Commodore.
I hear you've been busy, Captain.
Tolerably.
Well, it's all right with me that you should make yourself into a one-man recruiting office. But what's this I hear about your having a stenographer in here every afternoon?
Who told you that?
Now, you answer my question, then maybe I'll answer yours.
That Mrs. Mills told you that, didn't she?
Doesn't matter who told me.
Well, I warned her not to.
You're incorrigible. Now, look here, Captain. I haven't said much about this before. But essentially, you're a very sick man.
Why, you one young whippersnapper. I diagnosed myself before you ever came along. I know I'm a sick man. I know I'm going to die. Well, what of it?
Well, not just this. Among other things, you need rest. You need to get your mind off the problems of the world or whatever problems you're concerned with when you have that stenographer in here. Now, you're a sick man, and you must rest.
Yes, I see. Well, Commodore...
Never mind playing that game. I'm not the Commodore now. I'm the doctor.
All right. Doctor, then. I guess I better tell you what it is. I dictate to that stenographer.
Well, I'd like very much to know.
Letters. I dictate letters. You see, I read the papers, Doctor.
Yes.
And I write to some of the people whose names I see in the papers.
You... Well, I see. And writing to them gives you a part in the war, is that it?
Yeah, that's it. Yesterday, I wrote a letter to a mother in Alabama who'd gone back to work so her boy could enlist. I wrote one to a farm boy in Arkansas who walked 40 miles to a recruiting station. I praise those people. I tell them, well done. And then I wrote a letter to a man, and I told him, I wish I could be him and feel what he must be feeling. He was a man who had his picture in the paper with his three husky, fine-looking boys on the day they all three of them enlisted. Ah, believe me, Doctor, I wish I could be that man.
I do believe you, Captain.
There you are, Doctor. Now, do you want me to give up writing those letters?
No. No, Captain, you go right on. Hello, Mrs. Mills.
Hello, Dr. Loomis. Why, what's that you have in your hand?
This is a piece of rope.
It's all full of tar.
Smell it.
Oh, reeks of heaven. Whatever are you doing with that rope, Doctor?
Well, I'll tell you, Mrs. Mills. I had a call today down near the waterfront. And afterwards, I took a walk. And I got to thinking how much the captain would have loved to be there. To smell the salt air and the tar and the rotting waterlogged planks. And then I saw this rope and I smelled it.
Oh,
I know. It's an awful smell. But this is going to bring those docks right up to the captain's bedside.
Doctor?
Yes, what is it, Pat?
It's the captain. I think he's going, Doctor.
Good heavens. Hello, Captain.
Commodore?
All right, now. Easy there, Captain. But don't speak.
The blue sailing flag is up, Commodore. Short job is all done.
All right, now. Take it easy, Captain.
Setting out on a voyage now. Long voyage. Hey, what? What's that I smell?
Oh, I've forgotten it, Captain. It's a rope. It's for you.
That is the most beautiful smell in the world. I can smell the dirty waterfront of Shanghai. I can smell the reeking docks of Singapore. Gas off forward. All clear aft. Steady as she is. Pull ahead. We're set for a long voyage. A long, long voyage.
For a wonderful performance. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Calhern will be back in just a moment. But first, let me remind you, next Sunday is Easter. And it's not too late to send your greetings to friends you want to remember. Naturally, you'll want to send only the finest. Only those sentiments that will give your friends a warm, pleasant feeling for being remembered. That's why you should make it a point to choose Hallmark Easter cards. For you'll find in the attractive Hallmark selection cards that are sure to suit just your purpose. Cards for your friends, for mother and dad, cards for grandmother or your favorite aunt. And for the children, there are Easter bunny cutouts with colorful Easter themes and captivating verses. No, it's not too late to send Easter cards. Tomorrow, go to one of the fine stores that carry Hallmark cards. Ask to see Hallmark Easter cards. You'll know them by the three identifying words on the back. A Hallmark card. The three words that tell your friends you cared enough to send the very best. Now, once again, here's the star of tonight's show, Mr. Louis Calhern. Mr. Calhern, I'm sure that our listeners enjoyed your wonderful portrayal of the lovable old sea dog, especially Dr. Loomis.
Dr. Loomis?
Yes, the author of tonight's story. We received a message from him just before we went on the air this evening. He said, "I shall look forward to the old sailor story, and it will be heard by many groups around the country whom I know and am notifying. I'm putting notices of the broadcast on the bulletin board of the hospital at which the incident occurred." So, with pleasant anticipation, I am sincerely Frederick M. Loomis, Piedmont, California.
Well, Jay, I hope he enjoyed it as much as I did. These interesting true stories make it a real pleasure to appear on your Hallmark program. Oh, by the way, what course are you charting here next week?
Oh, another fine story. This time on the subject of marriage.
Well, as a married man, I'd like to know more.
Well, it's about a young man who needed a girl to get a job. And a job to get a girl.
Well, that sounds like a problem. Who plays the young man?
One of Hollywood's most popular young actors, Peter Lawford.
Well, that sounds wonderful. I'll be listening.
And we hope all our friends will join us next Thursday for the delightful comedy entitled And So They Married, starring Peter Lawford, and brought to you by the makers of Hallmark greeting cards. Soon be seen in the Enterprise Studio production of Arch of Triumph, and also the Gilbert Miller stage production of The Play is the Thing by Molnar. In tonight's story, Louis Calhern was supported by James Van Dyke in the role of Dr. Loomis. Deepwater Captain was dramatized by Robert Sanadella and was based on the true story by Dr. Frederick Loomis, entitled The Most Unforgettable Character I've Met, as it appeared in the Reader's Digest, America's favorite magazine. The Hallmark program was directed by Marks Loeb, with music especially composed by Jack Miller. Hallmark cards are sold only in stores that have been carefully selected to give you expert and friendly service. Remember Hallmark cards when you care enough to send the very best. Now, this is Jay Jackson saying goodnight to you all until next week at the same time, when our story will be And So They Married, starring Peter Lawford. Other stars soon to appear on your Hallmark program include Ann Rutherford, Fran Chortone, and Ralph Bellamy.
This is KMBC, Kansas City, Missouri.